The following is a presentation by His Holiness Jaya Bhattaka Swami on October 23, 1987 at New Talavan Farm in Carriera, Mississippi. The presentation was about Govardhan Puja.
Auspicious day of Govardhan Puja. We are gathered together this morning, performing the sacrifice. As you've heard earlier today, that the residents of Vrindavan, headed by Nanda Maharaj, wanted to do Indra Puja on the day of but Krishna objected. And he preached to them, better to worship Govardhan. Govardhan Hill is not different from Krishna. Actually, Krishna was teaching them that it's very important to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead and not to be distracted by worship of demigods. Indra provides rain. So the farmers, to please Indra, they wanted to do Indra Puja. But if someone does Vishnu Puja, Krishna Puja, that includes everything. So on the advice of Lord Krishna, he induced all the villagers to cease their demigod worship and simply do directly Krishna worship through the Govardhan Puja. Of course, this is a prelude to the anger of Indra, who then wanted to punish the residents of Vrindavan. So he sent too much rain and sent a flood. And then Krishna lifted up Govardhan Hill and protected all the residents of Vrindavan. Later Indra could realize his mistake, that the residents of Vrindavan were not whimsically giving up his worship, but they are worshipping the Supreme Lord of everyone, Krishna himself. So Govardhan is considered one of the most sacred places in the world, because Krishna would go there and perform his pastime. Anything that is very dear to the Lord is also a spiritual. You heard from Vikadar Prabhu about the auspicious places. Prabhupada said that according to Vedic civilization, the holy places of pilgrimage are considered most sacred. And there are still hundreds and thousands of holy places like Jagannath, Puri, Vrindavan, etc. So in this Vrindavan also there's the and Mathura. So there's the Govardhan. So therefore, to this day, we observe the Govardhan Puja. 1977, Srila Prabhupada wanted to go around the Govardhan Hill. Even though he was pretty weak, actually this was a whole drama. In fact, Tamal Krishna Goswami had written a drama about it. How Prabhupada wanted to go on a bullock cart around Govardhan Hill, but the doctor said that if he goes in a bullock cart around the hill, surely he cannot survive. And some devotees, I was there and other devotees were there, some devotees, I was pleading with Prabhupada that he shouldn't go because we want him to be with us longer. And he was making different statements. Even like better to go in action, preaching out on Sankirtan than lying here in a bed. Let me go around Govardhan, I can leave my body while going around Govardhan. But that was like too much for us to bear. So then some took the attitude, all right, let's take Prabhupada, it's his desire. And some took the attitude that, well, we're pleading to Prabhupada, please don't take such a strenuous risk. So, in the end of Prabhupada, he acceded to, all right, I'll stay here. And I think we took Prabhupada around the temple in a... But a Govardhan Puja is a special day. We worship the cows, we chant Hare Krishna, we offer offerings to Lord Krishna. And this way, by worshipping Govardhan, one can get unlimited mercy of the Lord. So on this day also, it's a very auspicious day. The best worship we can do is also to offer, I probably used to say, the flower of a soul. When a spirit soul surrenders to Krishna, that's a special offering. Very pleasing to Krishna. And if someone takes to the Krishna conscious movement seriously, taking these vows made in a holy place, a temple of Vishnu is considered a holy place, taken in the presence of Vaishnavas, taken in the presence of Guru, taken in presence of so many other auspicious witnesses, public and general friends, all these vows are very important. Whether wedding vow or whether initiation vow, all these vows have got deep significance, especially today. So, Prabhupada explains how the Krishna conscious movement is giving the population of the entire world a chance to take advantage of Krishna consciousness through the ISKCON centers, where one may perform deity worship and chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and in this way obtain results with effectiveness increased 1,000 times. This constitutes the best welfare activity for a human society. This was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, as it was predicted by him in the Chaitanya Bhagavat Antya Lila 4.126. Prativite ache jato nagaradigra sarvatra prachar haibe morna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted the Hare Krishna movement with installed deities to spread to every village and town in the world, so that everyone in the world might take advantage of this movement and become all auspicious in spiritual life. Without spiritual life, nothing is auspicious. Moghasa, mogha karmano, mogha gana vichetasa. No one can become successful in fruitive activities or speculative knowledge without being Krishna conscious. As recommended in the Shastras, everyone should be very eagerly interested in taking part in the Krishna consciousness movement and understanding the value of spiritual life. So, in this very short human life, we need to take it very seriously. We take a vow invoking the presence of eternal time, of Brahma, the entire disciplic succession. It is not for a short period of time, but it is for a continuous period of time. The vows that are made are even the initiation vows are even for life after life. Wedding vow is for the entire life of this body. No one can say what the next life will be. Hopefully one doesn't have to take birth again, they go back to Godhead. So, one can get this eternal benefit, but during this lifetime, that means one has to very sincerely follow the instructions handed down by the scriptures, by the disciplic succession. And the Chaitanya Charitamrita describes how Madhavendra Puri, because of his very enthusiastic devotional service, he was able to attract Krishna. So in his dream, actually one day, Madhavendra Puri, when he reached Vrindavan, he was so happy that he went and visited Govardhan, he visited all the holy places, he went everywhere. That time there was no formal temples or much, but so he visited the place and he was in such ecstasy, he didn't even think about eating. He just went and visited all the holy places there. And then in the afternoon, he just sat down to chant his japa. He hadn't eaten the whole day. The one cowherd boy came and gave him a pot of milk. He said, "Who are you?" He said, "I'm the cowherd boy of this village. I want to offer you this milk, please take it." He says, you haven't eaten all day, so you should take this. He says, how do you know I haven't eaten all day? He says, I'm responsible to see that everybody in this village gets fed. Some people, they work, and other people, they request the grihasthas for some donation. So the ladies at the water hole were telling me that you're not requested anyone for food, that then you didn't eat food the whole day. So I took it upon myself to bring you this little offering of milk. I'll go now into the village and I'll be coming back later. I have some other work and I'll take the empty container. So he was very attracted, this beautiful boy. The boy left. So he drank the milk. The boy never came back. That night, Madhavendra Puri took rest and the boy appeared in his dream. Listen, I'm here in this bush for a long time. I'm in the forest here in this jungle in Govardhan. For a long time, and I'm not getting the... My pujari put me here to escape from the attack of Mohammedans. Now I'm getting hungry. And I haven't bathed for a long time, so please take me and establish me in a temple and see that I get some regular offerings. Then the boy disappeared in his dream. Well, the boy took him by the hand in the dream and showed him where he was. In the forest, that here I am. Then Madhavendra Puri woke up. So then he went to the village and told all the villagers, come on, come on. Bring your machetes and things. We have to cut a path in the jungle. The Gopal deity is there waiting for us. So they went and cut the path into the thick, thick forest. And there they were amazed that exactly where Madhavendra Puri showed, according to the dream he had seen the night before. There was this, covered with mud and grass, there was this ancient deity of Krishna. This deity was established by Vajra, the grandson of Krishna. And they took the deity out, the Madhavendra Puri, in one day, he got all of the devotees of that village, working day and night without rest, tirelessly, enthusiastically, they constructed an entire temple with stones and everything. They took the stones and cut and made the entire temple they constructed. And all the ladies cooked huge offerings of prasadam, so much that it created in front of the deity a mountain of rice and big piles of chapatis and so many other preparations and milk, whatever ghee they had in their house, they gave all of it. Because they were so happy Krishna had come, revealed himself and come to their village. So on the Govardhan, initially it was on Govardhan, later he was shifted. They had this deity installation, and hundreds of, 108, forget how many, about 108 I think, pots of cool water from the Govinda Kund, I believe, were carried in big containers, and the deity was bathed with cool water. Even it's hot there in the sun in the jungle for so long. And then he was massaged with scented oils, and then again bathed with waters, abhishek, with water with spices in it, with yogurt, and with panchagavya, panchamrita, five milk, yogurt, clarified butter, cow dung and water, cow urine and water, then with the panchamrita, milk, yogurt, ghee, honey, and sugar syrup. Prabhupada explained how both the panchagavya, the panchamrita, the milk products are the main ingredient. In one, it's all milk, all cow products, and the other, it's milk products with some sweetening to add a little sweet touch. But the principal majority content is all product of the cow. So the cow is very essential for advancing in spiritual life. Cow's milk is the perfect food for allowing a person not only to be a vegetarian and get adequate milk, or rather adequate animal fat without harming any animal, but also the milk is a type of wonder food that increases the ability to understand spiritual matters. You see, sometimes it's said that if you eat fish, that makes you smart. But it's said by eating fish, you may get materially clever like a cat or something. But spiritually, you cannot understand things. You lose your spiritual intelligence. Milk is a wonder food without harming any animals, fishes, or birds, or anything. It doesn't harm them. Cow produces more than their own calf can drink. Produces extra for the human beings. By eating milk, we get not only physical nutrition, we get spiritual intelligence. For reading the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam. So then this big festival was held, and Madhavendra Puri himself performed the aarti to the deity. So that was also like another type of Govardhan Puja. When they made the mountain of rice, Prabhupada explains that this is all known as Annakut, or mountain of rice. And in Bengal and Vrindavan, this festival of making mountain of rice and worshipping the cows, observing Govardhan Puja, is a very big affair. So this is a very auspicious time to take this important vows of life. Purpose of human life is to become Krishna conscious. To be Krishna conscious, one needs to serve Krishna. To serve Krishna, one must serve Krishna through the via media of a bona fide spiritual master. These are all the advice or stricture of the Shastra. So, the spiritual master, he accepts the responsibility of a disciple on behalf of the disciplic succession. The disciple accepts to follow the instructions of the spiritual master without fail. Thank you very much.
For example, maybe we need to change our dress or chant less rounds or have a lower standing. Or even maybe presently somebody might decide that this is the final standard for the West, the Prabhupada said, or someone else change.
Well, certainly there's no need of any immediate change. Prabhupada has given us the basic standard. Things haven't changed that much. And who's qualified to do that? Prabhupada said he didn't want any acharyas to be appointed. There shouldn't be like a head of the institution that can just change things. He said in the future there might be some kind of, so the cream rises to the top, there may be some type of person somewhere in the future that comes. He didn't indicate that there was anyone immediately that he foresaw, but in the future, might be that someone comes up like that. But this is a very big topic. And for that, the Prabhupada also established a governing body commission to be like a check and balance, to see that the basic teachings of Prabhupada are protected and not whimsically changed. I mean, everything you just said has already been covered by Prabhupada. Now, if somebody wants to increase the number of rounds in the future, there's scope for that. But since Prabhupada promised that, well, if you chant 16, follow the four principles, I take you back to Godhead. If someone in the future wants to reduce that, then there's a very big question of whether that person is also going to have that capacity to guarantee to take you back to Godhead. What are his credentials? And rather, we see that as the Krishna conscious movement preaches, and people should be becoming more Krishna conscious, when things become a little more peaceful, when there's less preaching to do, say the whole world becomes much more civilized and Krishna conscious, probably it'll go the other way. Okay, now you should chant 32 rounds because there's less preaching to do. Or now you should chant 64 rounds. To reduce it, at least a big question of doubt. the Prabhupada said that he would wear karmi clothes, for instance, he would wear a suit and tie if that would promote the preaching. He was convinced of that, he'd do it. So some certain scopes are given. But the question remains whether it really, he didn't do it, he didn't think it would increase the preaching, for himself at least. But he authorized his disciples. So if there's supposed to be some kind of a society, you know, a very serious change, then that there's some question of its validity. Then the governing body commission is supposed to analyze the teachings of Prabhupada to see whether in fact these are proposed changes would actually be valid or not. That's the thing that he wanted, to just be a double check, because one individual might think something might not work out. Prabhupada also said, if you make a little change in spiritual life, that can create a big havoc if it's not authorized. He was so insistent. I remember one time I was chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, you know, I was chanting in the kirtan, and I saw some of the devotees, they weren't chanting. So then I just yelled out, Bolo! It's in India, you know, Bolo, and chant! Hare Krishna. And the Prabhupada called me and said, don't add any new words to the mantra. He was very afraid. He said, the problem with you Westerners is you always want to change. One time he made a joke. He said, stand on your head. It was like a mantra. Stand on your head, clap your feet, just do something new, do something new. This is your American or your Western disease. For the sake of doing something new, just do something, you know. It's like you have to do something. If you're doing, everything's going great, right? Nothing's broken. Even if it's not broke, you got to fix it, right? You got to do something new. He was afraid that this idea, everything's going along, people are things, you just got to do something new, just for the sake of being new. We have to, actually Prabhupada was very conservative. The Indian civilization in general, the Vedic culture, it doesn't change. That's the beauty of it. It remains, it's a constant. And just like the clothing, it's so simple. Sure, everyone that is one sari, dhoti, it's one cloth. Very simple, not very complicated. Of course, maybe here in the West you need the warmer cloth because it's cold. But this is the beauty and simplicity of the Vedic culture. Teachings of Prabhupada are sublime. If we start to change things when it's unnecessary, just to show that we're different, I got a new idea, we can get distracted from the real purpose. Unnecessarily make things complicated. So that's why everything one does should be backed by Veda Praman. Now for the sake of preaching, sometimes something can be done. But then one has to see whether the actual preaching is there. Certain things are definitely taboo. Playing around with mantras, changing the teachings, changing the rituals. These are very dangerous. The techniques of book distribution or the techniques of getting the people to engage in Krishna consciousness. There's an area where there's a little scope for creative application in the preaching field. Because yena tena prakarena Krishna mana nivosade, by bringing the people to Krishna. But then the more that kind of gets into our traditional teachings and practices, it becomes a bit precarious. But going out and meeting the people, maybe, with some scope. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.